Everybody loves a miracle story, am I right? I mean, there are like movies made about it. There are books written about it. They give us hope. They give us joy. They give us peace, and they are all over the Bible. I believe in the power of the story of a miracle. I believe in it so much that early on in my husband Clark's medical career, I really gifted him with something special. I gave him a really great insight during my time as a pastor. I had walked through medical crises with numerous people up to that point, and I had noticed something important. And that was that when people were told that their survival or their healing was miraculous, they responded well. And what I mean by that is if somebody was told that if they had come into the clinic 1 week later that the blockage could have been fatal, or if the car had been going 5 miles per hour faster that their injuries would have been much worse, people loved to hear that. They loved to hear it because it brought meaning to what was happening, right? And not only did they love to hear it, but they got better faster. They responded to it. And so I went to Clark. He was in his residency at UAMS. And I said, Clark, I figured it out. Every time you go into a patient's room, no matter what is wrong, just say, you are a miracle. The fact that you are alive right now is a miracle. And they're going to respond. Now, Clark is a very smart and extremely compassionate man. And he reminded me that that was highly unethical. And so my grand experiment in therapeutic lying never really got off the ground. But people love the story of a miracle. They love it. And in the scripture passage today, we get not one but two miracles from the hands of Jesus in one afternoon. First, it began with a man, and it wasn't just any man, it was Jairus. He was a leader in the synagogue, and he was experiencing tragedy. His beloved daughter was sick, and she wasn't just sick, she was sick unto death. And so he came to the man that the rest of his colleagues, they rejected, but he knew he had the ability to heal her. And so he went to Jesus and he told Jesus what was happening and asked him to come and bring healing to his daughter. And Jesus, without a word, follows Jairus. And even though by the time Jesus gets to the home, the girl is dead, Jesus's healing hands have no boundaries. And so he brought the girl back to life, healing not only her, but all of the broken hearts that surrounded her. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the rejoicing that happened in the wake of that moment? And if that was not enough, the author of Mark, he's a really good author, better than we give him credit for. He sticks a story, he weaves a story in the midst of Jairus' story. And while they're on their way to Jairus' home, a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, a bleeding that would have made her ritually unclean and thus ostracized from society. A woman who for 12 years has sought every medical opinion possible. She finds herself in the midst of a crowd with Jesus. And out of faith and desperation, she reaches out and touches his clothes. And there she finds healing. Profound act of faith brings her healing. Another life-changing story. These stories hung there together give us an incredible portrait of who Jesus is and who Jesus is there to serve, right? The highest and the lowest, male and female, rich and poor, Jesus is there to serve and to love. But now it is up to us to figure out what we are to learn from these stories. Because we know that the truth of this passage is not quite as simple as it looks. The simple explanation of this passage would be that it's telling us that if we pray hard enough and believe fervently enough and reach far enough, then Jesus will bring healing to those we love. We have lived too much life to believe that that's true. We have prayed too many fervent prayers
We have watched too many wonderful people die to believe that that is true. The reality is that miracles do happen. Miracles happen. Broken bodies are healed with no scientific or medical explanation. But those miracles, they are the exception, not the rule. No matter how hard you pray, how sincerely you believe, bodies break. Bodies break, and eventually they die. Some tragically sooner than others. And so, if that is the reality we live in, if bodies break and sometimes are unfixable, if we die and usually aren't brought back from the dead immediately, what are we supposed to take away from these stories in front of us today? As I have explored them, I believe that there is a truth that is immensely powerful to be found in the midst of these stories. These stories and the truth that they hold within them have the capacity to change the way we live. For these stories have a powerful and often forgotten or ignored truth within them. And it is this: God cares deeply about our bodies and the lives that we live within them. Now, some Christians would claim that we are not called to love this life or these bodies that we have been burdened with. In fact, this is just a middle space, a time that we are meant to just be enduring until we can reach our heavenly home with God. And while that heavenly home sometimes sounds so very sweet, there's something important happening here as well. Unfortunately, the central tenet of some iterations of Christianity is that these bodies are obstacles to a Christian life, that they are vehicles for temptation and sin. But in the face of such claims, I have to ask, then why would Jesus bother to heal people at all? If life on earth is simply to be endured on our way to the real deal in heaven, then wouldn't Jesus' acts of healing be incredibly unmerciful? The miracles of Jesus, the fact that he healed and brought people to life, the fact that Jesus was human at all, alive like us, I believe is a consecration of our aliveness. A way to reveal to us that life is not just to be endured, but to be celebrated and fought for and lived. Even when, maybe especially when our bodies are broken. When our bodies are broken and we recognize our own frailty, it is then that we give thanks for the simple and miraculous gift of being alive at all. The story of Jairus and the woman who is bleeding teaches us that life, our lives, and the lives of those we love are worth pleading for. This story teaches us that our bodies, even when they are broken, should matter to us because they already matter to God. Kate Bowler, she's a professor at Duke Divinity School. She has one such broken body. A few years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. She had everything going for her. She was young and healthy. She had a great career. She had a husband she loved and a son she adored, and yet after a bout with stomach pain, she was diagnosed with incurable colon cancer. She wrote a book about the experience called Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I Loved. It's a great title, and it is a great book. I recommend it highly. In this book, she explores her journey with cancer, and she struggles not only with the anger and grief that comes alongside the diagnosis, but also the anger and grief she feels towards the lies that she believes she has been told by our culture and sometimes even our church. In it, she asks, what would it mean for Christians to give up that little piece of the American dream that says you are limitless? Everything is not possible. The mighty kingdom of God is not yet here. What if rich did not have to mean wealthy, and what if whole did not mean healed? What if being the people of the gospel meant that we are simply people with good news, that God is here We are loved, and it is enough. Friends, we are not limitless. Bodies break. I mean, most of the bodies here are broken. Am I right? But even in the midst of these blessedly broken bodies, the good news reminds us that even if we are not healed, we are still alive. God is with us. God is with us as much today as God will be with us in our heavenly home. And these simple truths are enough. I mean, maybe this is the miracle. What if this blood pumping through our veins, the oxygen being breathed through our lungs, the neurons firing in our brains, what if that is the miracle we are forgetting to witness? What if this right here, right now, this very moment is a divine and miraculous gift just waiting to be noticed? Not every miracle is a reversal of nature's laws. Sometimes the miracle is just being here at all. You know, if you ask Clark, my husband, if he's ever witnessed a medical miracle during his career as a doctor, he will tell you that he has. I found out about it one morning after he returned home late from an overnight call, and I was packing lunches and bottles for the boys, and I was complaining about a difficult bedtime that night, and then I half-heartedly thought I should probably ask him about his day. And so I asked him, you know, how was your night on call? And he took a breath, and very calmly he said, well, I saw a baby come back to life last night. You know, there's those moments like when your stresses are put in perspective. That was one of those moments for me. Clark wasn't even supposed to be at the hospital that night because I had made him change calls so that I could go to a continuing education event at Hendricks. And because he works with two different groups, when I ask him to change his call, he has to actually change two different sets of schedules because he works with both the adults in the hospitalist and a hospitalist group and the babies in the nursery and the pediatricians group. He was there that night with a couple of sick adults. He was writing notes when he got a frantic call from a nurse in the nursery asking if he was in-house. The nursery at this hospital is a little smaller than some of the larger ones, and so while they always have a pediatrician on call, they're not always in the hospital. They're always within a few minutes of the hospital. And they are very rarely there late at night. And so when the nurse called and asked Clark if he was in-house, and Clark was able to say yes, he could hear the relief in her voice. Clark was there that night because of a changed schedule and a sick adult. And he ran to the nursery for an emergency C-section. They lost the baby's heartbeat. When Clark arrived to the delivery room, the baby was born within seconds, and he could see instantly that the infant was lifeless. And at this point, I asked Clark, what did you do next? What happened next? What was the miracle? And Clark said, the miracle was that I did what I was trained to do, and it worked. The baby was okay. Lungs breathing, blood pumping, neurons firing. That baby was alive through the miraculous means of divine creation, modern medicine, and a doctor who was simply there and knew what to do next. Sometimes the miracle is just being here at all. Because sometimes when we are just here, God is able to use that blood that is flowing and those neurons that are firing to remind us that life is indeed a miraculous gift. These healings, these miraculous healings, whether through divine power of Christ's hands or the hands of ordinary people in divine circumstances, friends, they are rare, and yet they have something deeply valuable to teach us. They teach us that our bodies are lovingly created by God and meant to be lived in. This, all of this is a magnificent, unique, and finite gift. The final words of Kate Bowler's beautiful book about her journey with cancer, they capture this truth with a strong dose of bluntness. The last 7 words of her novel read as such: I will die, yes, but not today. our bodies will eventually break. And they will die. And we know that there is a promise for life far beyond what we can imagine on the other side of that mysterious transition. But until then, may we live today in the bodies that are weary and blessedly broken. For this is a miracle worth noticing. Thanks be to God. Amen.